Readers Entertainment Radio presents Booklights with your host, author Lisa Kessler. Booklights, where we're shining a light on good books.
Hello, everyone. It's a new week. It's another Monday in October, so it's Halloween time, my favorite time of year. For all of us who are into paranormal things, this is also the time of year when I have all my horror author friends on, so it's super extra fun for me. And today we have horror grandmaster Ray Garten, who is just, he's a great guy, but fabulous author. So if you've never read Ray before, now is the time of year to jump in and give it a try. And he has a new book out too, so be sure to check it out. And I'm going to go ahead and introduce you to his bio if you haven't read Ray, and then we'll be off. So since he was 8 years old, all Ray wanted to be was a writer. And since 1984, he has been fortunate enough to spend his life writing full time. He's written over 60 books, novels, and novellas in the horror and suspense genres, collections of short stories, movie novelizations, and TV tie-in books, with more in the works. And in 2006, he was presented with the World Horror Grandmaster Award. Ray is on social media, so I did include a link to his website where you can get the links to Facebook and Twitter. And he also has a brand new work that we're going to talk about today that he's working on, and you can be a part of it. If you haven't tried Patreon yet, it's a great way to help artists and support artists that you enjoy, and you get lots of cool treats. And so I put a link to Ray's Patreon on the Blog Talk page, so you can click right there and go take a look. But he has lots of great goodies for you if you are interested in supporting the ongoing work. So without any further ado, Ray, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Lisa.
Yay! Hi, how have you been?
I'm good. I'm very good. Busy.
Yeah.
It's the busy season, like you said. This is when we get noticed.
Yes. Yes. All year long, we go along writing things, and then October comes, and everyone says, we need paranormal authors.
Yeah. Yep,
so can you tell everybody about your... Yep, right? Can you tell everybody about your new book, Vortex, that just came out?
Vortex is a novella that is a continuation of the story of Karen Moffitt and Gavin Keough, the two private investigators who are frequently hired by horror writer Martin Burgess to investigate paranormal goings-on. And in this one, they're sent to Mount Shasta to investigate something strange that's happening. There's usually
and
something strange happening in Mount Shasta.
Right? Yeah. When I saw that on the Amazon blurb for the book, I thought, Mount Shasta? Do weird things happen in Mount Shasta?
Well, it's a... I went years ago, back in the 80s, I went to the Harmonic Convergence in Mount Shasta.
Oh.
It was 1988, I think, and they had... lots of channels and psychics and tons of crystals for sale. It was a very new age event, a big event. It's supposed to be among people who are experts on that sort of thing. It's supposed to be some sort of power center.
Oh.
And it has
was
a
that
long
before?
History.
Was that
Pardon?
Before or after Close Encounters?
No, this has been, it goes way back. It's it's an important spot to Native Americans in
mm-hmm.
the area. Very mystical. If
nice.
If you believe in that sort of thing.
Right.
It's also
do you live near
area.
Mount, yeah, do you live near Mount Shasta? Is that close
yeah.
to you?
Yeah, it's just about an hour away.
Oh, nice.
And,
so when you set these things in a book, do you usually go there to check it out,
oh, yeah.
or since
yeah.
you've been there before?
Yeah, I've spent time there. In fact, I spent time researching this book. Mount Shasta is a beautiful little town at the foot of the mountain, but it's also an odd town. It has strange bookstores, stores where you can buy all kinds of very weird things.
Right.
And it attracts people from all over the world who are not mainstream, if that makes sense.
Right. No, it sounds to me like I have a book series I set in Sedona so that I have an excuse to go back there, and it sounds like, you know, a northern Sedona.
Yes, exactly. It's that kind of place.
Right. Are you going to, do you see yourself setting more books there?
Let's see. I've done a handful of books set there, and I'm sure I'll do more, yeah. It's kind of it's an appealing location, and it's very atmospheric, so it lends itself well to the genre I write in.
Mm-hmm. And in Vortex, without being spoilery, I know from reading the other books that Karen and Gavin have found vampires and werewolves. Do they find something similar in Vortex, or is it a
yes.
whole different kind of monster?
It's very different. Something has come out of the mountain. The local mythology claims that there are people living inside and beneath the mountain, Lemurians. And so something has come out of the mountain and it's hungry.
That's always a bad sign.
Yeah.
Why are these bad things always hungry?
And I'm working on another book involving Moffat and Keoff called Forever Blood, which continues their work with vampires and werewolves.
And this is the book people can support on Patreon, right?
Yes, yes.
And you were telling me before the show, this one's kind of like an opus. It's a really big book that's going to connect everything.
Yeah, it's turning into a big, fat doorstop of a book. It's getting big. I'm sure it'll be thinned out during the editing process, but it's much bigger than I expected, and I'm having a lot of fun with it. I don't want it to stop.
Yeah, that's so cool. Last year I had Doug Clegg on the show, and we were talking about horror as a genre is sometimes difficult to keep the thread going for a longer book. Like, he was admiring that Stephen King can, you know, write these doorstops of a book, because his tend to be a little bit shorter, because he said the horror as a genre, you have to have this, you know, secret and this thing. And once it's all revealed, it's really hard to keep the story going without wrapping it up, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so are you surprised that this book is getting so long?
I am, kind of. I think the secret to sustaining the story through a longer book is to be juggling several secrets at once.
Right.
Once you reveal it, it's done. So you're kind of screwed if the book continues to go on. So it's I like to have a handful of secrets, and that's what this book does. That's what's happening with this book.
And Karen and Gavin are the ones discovering all the secrets, right?
Yes. Well, they not at first. They come into the book sort of late. There's a lot of setup before they arrive.
Okay.
There is a young woman named Aubrey who is a protagonist in this. And she's the one who leads us through some of these secrets before Moffat and Keoff arrive.
Okay. Before
but
the author finds
the
out
now,
about
so
the weird things.
Yeah, I've got them in the book now, so they're on the scene and hard at work.
Aw, I love them. I think it's gonna be great. I'm so glad that they're getting, you know, more adventures to go on.
Yeah, I enjoy writing them. They're fun characters, and they're slowly developing a relationship.
Oh.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, I love that too.
Yeah, that's interesting to write because most relationships don't happen instantly. You know, they especially
right.
the longest, the ones that last the longest, seem to happen more slowly.
Right, a slow burn.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I know in your bio it said since you were 8 years old, but I don't think that I know the beginning of, you know, when did your writing journey start, like you went after getting published and everything? How did that all come together? Did you go to college? Did you decide you were just going to write a book? What happened?
I came out of the womb, I think, writing. before I could write, I would draw stories in like comic book panels, and then as I learned to read and write, I started writing them, and I've been doing it my whole life since I was very little. I got an agent through a girlfriend's family. I met him when I was living in Los Gatos, and he sold Live Girls very quickly, much to my surprise. Not Live Girls, I'm sorry, Seductions. Much to my surprise,
mm-hmm.
I was shocked. It was a matter of weeks, and he called
wow.
me and said, the book had sold. But that was during the
wow.
horror boom, so publishers were buying up everything, all the horror they could find. I was in the right place at the right time.
Right.
That helped a great deal, I think. That was a big benefit. And
yeah, because half of writing is luck and timing.
Yeah, it is. It is. I went to college, but not. I didn't finish. And once I started selling books, I didn't consider going back.
Yeah, you never went back.
No.
Was Seductions your first book, or had you already
yeah.
written a bunch that were under the bed?
Well, I'd written a few that were never published and never could be published. They were pretty bad. I mean, I think I
practice
wrote my first
books.
One in the seventh grade, and it was not something I'd want anyone to read at this point. But that was the first book I sold, Seductions. And that
yeah,
was called
that's amazing.
Darklings. Yeah, it shocked me. I couldn't believe it. It was with Pinnacle. And it all happened so suddenly, I was bowled over.
Yeah, it's like the universe was saying, you're on the right path, kid.
Yes. And I always knew that I would at some point be published. I figured it would be much later, but I was
mm-hmm.
going to try. You know, I no point in waiting around.
Right.
And I just
right.
didn't expect it to happen that soon.
Yeah, that's incredible because it certainly wasn't that way for me.
No, it's
but
not for most people.
So...
And I'll tell you,
yeah,
when that happens, you get spoiled because
right.
it's only downhill from there.
That's
things don't
true.
Get easier. Once they start out that easy, things don't get easier. They get harder.
That's true. That's true. And if there's anything publishing has taught me so far, it's that it is such a roller coaster ride.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Yeah, there are no guarantees. There's no. Once you're in... I think the only way you can really stick around is just by refusing to go away. But
right.
That doesn't mean you're gonna keep selling things.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't mean you're gonna be able to eat, but you're gonna
keep
writing those books.
Yeah. And at this point, I don't think I can do anything else.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's where I am these days. I'm like, shoot. Now I'm useless for anything else.
Yeah.
But I, this morning when I was putting together all the show things, I was thinking about when you and I met on, it was back in the MySpace days, but I don't think I ever told you the story of the two Rays, but I had met Ray Bradbury. I was working for a literary paper in San Diego, and I had already written my first book and was halfway through my second, and I was getting a million rejections, and I had had an agent, and then we broke up, and I was getting really frustrated. And when I met Ray, he was, of course, amazing. He could talk about writing to make you cry. And it was amazing. So we all got to meet him before he did his speaking engagement. And so I was all nervous, and I asked him, what can I do to improve my writing? Because my first novel is shopping around, and I keep getting a bunch of rejections. And he told me, you write a new short story every week for a year, and you'll be a whole new writer by the end. And I had already sold short stories, so I knew, you know, you don't make any money, and I just thought, So it took me a couple months to do it, and then I thought, okay, I'm just going to do it. I'll write a short story every week for a year, and I'll put them up on my blog on MySpace. And so my very first one that I did, I got a message from Ray Garten that said, you can write. I was like, oh, my God. And I don't know if I ever told you that, but that was the first story that Ray had encouraged me to write. And then you sent me a message encouraging me not to give up. And so you two Rays definitely were, I don't know if I would have continued struggling had I not gotten that encourage from the two of you. And it was so close together that I was like, wow, it's like the story of the two Rays.
No, you hadn't told me that before. And I'm very envious of you. I never got to meet Ray Bradbury, and he's someone I definitely wanted to meet, but that just never happened. But I love listening to him talk about writing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was so passionate about it. And when I met him, he was already in a wheelchair and hearing aids, couldn't hear very well, and he didn't care. He was so excited. He's in his wheelchair going, Jesus Christ, we have the best job in the entire world. I wake up every day and I get to write. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm crying.
Yep, but that's the best way to look at it. I mean, it's, you know, there's going to be plenty of stuff to complain about, but the thing to focus on is that we get to do this every day.
Yeah.
Of people who want to write don't have the time because they're doing other things. They have, their life is taken up by, you know, by life. But we've managed to arrange our lives so that we can do this full time.
Right.
And very
and
fortunate.
It is a gift and a curse.
Yes. And I also get to meet I've met so many wonderful writers. My Facebook friend list is full of talent. There are just tons of talented writers on there. And I'm slowly getting around to reading some of them. I'm just really impressed with the number of talented writers there are out there on my list.
Right? Yeah, it's very encouraging. And I love that publishing can be like a gut punch. Sometimes horrible things happen, but the writing community of writers is like the coolest thing in the whole world. You can reach out to another writer and say, dude, this just happened to me, help. And they're always there. And I just think that's incredible. I don't know any other industry where it's not like a competition, it's a team.
Yeah. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah, me too. So who are you reading right now?
At the moment, I'm reading a book called The House That Jack Built by the great Graham Masterton, who continues to impress me. I started reading him, it was about 40 years ago, about the same time I started reading Stephen King, maybe 45 years ago. And he's still at it, and he's still writing like a young man. It's just amazing to me. And the book I'm reading now is Hard to Put Down.
That's so cool.
And before that, I read Guy Hendor's The Werewolf of Paris, which I strongly recommend.
Okay.
That was a great book. And I also am reading the Bill Hodges trilogy by Stephen King. I think this is some of the best work he's done in years.
Bill Hodges trilogy? How come I haven't heard of that one?
Mr. Mercedes, Lost and Found.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're wonderful.
Ken just finished The Institute, and he really enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah, I've got that. I'm going to be reading that soon.
Yeah, his takeaway was, don't be a kid with any psychic abilities. He said it always turns out bad for them in a Stephen King book.
Of course. Yes, it does. It does always work out
bad for them. Yeah. If you're a kid with psychic abilities, keep that to yourself.
And in real life, I think it would, too. The government would probably be after you.
Probably, yeah. I'm sure they would.
If it's not the government who created you in the first place.
That is true as well. Yeah, I have a book that I haven't put out yet. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with it yet, but it's more along the horror lines than the paranormal romance. So I'm holding on to it, but it has some cloning in it. And my agent emailed me and said, you know, the government's already cloned a human. I'm sure they have.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, my gosh. She goes, you don't think they stopped with a sheep, did you? I'm sure there's all kinds of secret things we don't know about. When that Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter book came out, I got it for Ken as a joke, but he actually really enjoyed it. And they have a whole section in that book of photoshopped Civil War pictures where and they're really done really well. And there's a secret book that Abraham Lincoln leaves for other presidents about, you know, keeping the vampires in line and the secret and all that. And by the time he was done, he was like, you know, the government could have a secret vampire book. I don't doubt it.
It's gotten a lot harder to dismiss the stuff that we used to laugh at. Because things have gotten so weird that it's hard to, I don't know, could be, maybe, I don't know.
Right? Yeah. Well, the Navy just came out and said, yes, those UFO videos are real.
Yes.
Like, what?
Yep. Of course, a lot of people take that to mean that they're spacecraft, but it just means that the videos of unidentified flying objects are real. We just don't know what they are. Or at least they're not telling us.
Yes, they probably do know.
They probably
But they're not
do.
Telling us. They're just letting us know that yes, they are not, you know, swamp gas or what else do they tell us? A weather balloon.
Yeah, weather balloons.
Well, I watched the most amazing documentary on Amazon Prime. So if you can stream on Amazon Prime, you've got to watch it. It's called Third Eye Spies.
Third Eye Spies.
And yes. And it is about the CIA declassified their training of psychics to do remote viewing to see if they could spy remotely.
Yes, the man
and
is scared of ghosts.
They've declassified it. Yeah, and all of these physicists, one of them is a Nobel Prize winning physicist. A few of them are still alive who were involved in doing all of this super secret testing, and it's fascinating. Your brain will explode.
Wow.
It's so amazing.
I'm
going to
watch
and
that
they're
tonight.
In this, watch it and then message me and tell me because I took notes. I was like, oh my gosh, it's fantastic. But yeah, the government has lots of really secret-y things going on.
Oh yeah.
But
yeah,
at the very end of the documentary, they kind of wink and say we do have pieces of UFOs.
It's like, oh my God.
But, have you seen or read The Men Who Stare at Goats? Or Stared at Goats?
No.
Oh,
no.
That's a great
movie.
But
I've heard it's great.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
The Men Who
Stared
at Goats.
I haven't read the
book,
but I need to get it. The movie has George Clooney and, it's got a big cast. And it's about the stuff that our government was looking into back in the late 60s, early 70s. Remote viewing and trying to kill animals with your mind.
oh, how funny.
Which is what BioFire is about. The book BioFire that I'm going to be publishing soon from 1998. It has that kind of weapon in it that enables people to kill with their minds.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to watch that. I remember that when it came out, people said it was really good, The Men Who Stared at Goats, but I hadn't seen it. But I'm so into this whole remote viewing thing after I watched The Third Eye Spies that I'm like, what?
Oh, yeah, okay. You should watch this then. And I hear the book it has a lot more information than the movie, of course.
Right.
But I haven't read that. I know, it's fascinating, the remote viewing. I haven't looked into that as much as I should, but I'm familiar with
it. Well,
that
documentary will, you'll be taking notes too.
Oh, good.
If you're a horror author or into paranormal things, you gotta, that's gonna, yeah, all kinds of book ideas there.
Oh, yeah. Our search engine histories are probably pretty weird, all of us horror writers.
Right. Yeah. I had one book where I needed the guy to be dead but able to be brought back to life, and so I had horrible search things about, you know, if you get shot up with potassium chloride, does your heart stop instantly or does it hurt? And I thought, I'm going to be on somebody's list.
Yeah, so they will find the errors, and they will let you know.
Yes, yes. So
very
what's
generous
next
that
for
way.
You? Yes, for sure.
Well, I want to finish Forever Blood, and I'm going to be focusing exclusively on that from now until the time that it's done. I'm working a lot slower than I used to, and I'm writing this book at my own pace, and I think it shows in the writing, because I used to write books very fast to meet deadlines, and that isn't a problem here. So I'm taking advantage of that.
Are you going to put this one out yourself?
No, I'm not sure what's going to become of this one. I'm going to give it to my agent, Richard Curtis, and see if he wants to shop it around in New York.
Oh, okay.
And if he does, I'll wait and see what happens there. Otherwise, it may end up at my current publisher, Crossroad Press.
Nice. Is Crossroad Press you, though? Are you hybrid now, or are you putting things out yourself?
No, that's
okay.
Crossroad Press is David Wilson.
Oh, okay.
And so I'll be working on that for until it's done.
Yeah, that's so exciting. It's exciting when there's a book that you love writing that you don't want it to end, because they're not all that way. Writing's really hard.
No, they're not all that way. And this one has had posed some unique problems, research problems, and it involves incels, and I've had to look into that. And boy, that's ugly. Those guys are unpleasant. But there are several of them in the book.
And we have to research it, so
yes,
we can make it real.
Yes, as real as possible. But somebody will find something wrong somewhere.
Probably, but we do the best we can.
Yes.
So we're running out of time, which kills me because it goes by so fast. But
yeah, this
I'm glad you had fun. I did too. But if readers want to get in touch with you, is Facebook good? Twitter? How do you have a newsletter? How do you want people to get in touch?
Facebook, Twitter, any of those, I'm very accessible. You can find me on both of those places, and there's a website. The website, I think there's a message box in the website. So I'm very easy to reach.
Great.
And I respond.
Well, yes, he does, everyone. So read his books and let him know what you think, because that inspires authors to write the next one.
Oh, it really does. I love hearing from readers.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for being here, Ray. It was great to talk to you again.
Thanks for having me. And we'll
thanks for joining us on Book Lights. Be sure to connect with us at www.readersentertainment.com for articles, blogs, videos, and podcasts that matter to readers.